Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Creative Control with Vish Khanna.
Wow, a Sunday podcast. Some would call this social media suicide, launching a podcast episode on a Sunday night. But what do you... I didn't have a choice. There were some technical issues last week. I wanted to have this out on Friday. It didn't work out. So now it's but it's ready. You know what? Here's the thing. My guest on the podcast for this episode is Josh Cloke. He's the author of a brand new book about the tragically hip called Escape is at Hand. And on Monday, June 24th, I am hosting his book launch at the supermarket in Toronto. So I want to get this podcast out before that. And as I say, sometimes things happen. But still, you're about to hear me and Josh down at the Speed River in Guelph, Ontario, having a chat about the tragically hip and this new book, Escape is at Hand. So buckle up. You know, forget about Mad Men or whatever the heck you were going to watch tonight. Just listen to this podcast. It's fun. You know what? Listen to the podcast and do watch Mad Men too. Why not? You can do both. Okay, check it out. This week's episode of Creative Control with Vish Khanna is brought to you by the Eden Mills Writers Festival, which celebrates its 25th anniversary this September 13th to 15th in the beautiful village of Eden Mills, just outside of Guelph, Ontario. Over the last quarter century, the festival has grown into a nationally acclaimed and widely respected literary event dedicated to promoting and raising awareness of Canadian literature, both young, emerging authors and writers, and very well-established ones. And they have a very exciting program planned for this year. For more information about the festival, visit EdenMillsWritersFestival.ca. I think these geese are angry, because the geese over there by that end of the Speed River are very angry, but these ones, they seem relatively tranquil.
Well, because I don't think there's any like baby geese. That's what I was nervous about when I saw those two smaller geese. I try and stay away from them, right? Because I think when, you know, once you get within like a 3-foot radius, the mothers kind of get motherly.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think maybe these are the elderly geese who are...
They're just chilling in the in the water. I it was odd that I made a beeline right towards the family of geese with the baby. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I was totally aware of that there were baby geese, but we were talking, and I was going to just sit there. Look, now those other geese, they can hear us talking about them, and they're walking this way.
Well, you're a family man. I guess you flock to folks like you or things like you. And see, and there you go. And there's the little child.
There's a guy feeding them. I don't know if that's right. You're not supposed to feed them. Oh, now there's a city truck coming. They're probably going to tell him not to feed the geese. Are you supposed to feed geese?
I used to, but I used to just have like a handful of... I think I used to feed seagulls, though, with like a handful of breadcrumbs.
Why did you feed the seagulls?
It was my uncle. He was a real troublemaker, and I was hanging out with him, and...
Your uncle is actually... he plays a role in your book.
It was another uncle, but yes.
Oh, this, different uncle.
Yeah,
okay. All
this right. This uncle does. He does play a big role because I think everybody is really entitled to have a cool uncle, right?
Yeah.
I think that's a real important part of growing up. Not to take anything away from my other uncles or my father, but you know, as I write about in the book, my uncle kind of he outed me as being a huge hip fan more than you know, your average music fan. He would catch me singing along and dancing along in ways that, you know, most fans don't. And I had tickets to a hip show, and I had kind of exhausted all my other options as far as friends and concert mates. And I asked my uncle, because I felt in some weird way like I should pay him back, because he was the one that actually introduced me to the band in a weird way. So I took him, and we had a great time, and we went to the Hilton in Hamilton beforehand, and there was the Practically Hip, and they play a lot in Guelph.
Yeah,
they used to.
That's right. Yeah, I see their name on the marquee for the Guelph Concert Theater
right.
sometimes.
So they were playing a show, and I think you have, when you go to a concert, especially one that's that holds, you know, emotional weight with you, you should go with someone who really is encouraging.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
So he took me, and we went to the Hilton before the show and saw the Practically Hip, and they were offering up free tickets to the following night's show and free hotel to anybody who could do their best Gord Downie impersonation. And I wasn't nervous at all, because I guess I had my uncle there. And
Your uncle was a kind of security blanket for you there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Otherwise, and nothing but strangers, and you're flailing about like Gord Downie.
And I won. And
you won.
You know, there was a lot of people kind of middling about on the dance floor, but I took it upon myself to hop on the stage. That was probably my first act of catharsis, I guess. I think at one point they were playing Twist My Arm, and I think I kind of grabbed the microphone from Dean, the Practically Hip's lead singer, and it felt right. And I won. The guy that was organizing it called me off stage, and he said, "You can stop now."
Yeah, you didn't even know you'd won.
No.
You had to be told that you won and basically told to stop.
Yeah.
For your own safety and others around you.
Yeah, so I was ejected due to exuberance. So
that's the best way to be ejected, I think.
I think so. Yeah. And I remember looking out at my uncle afterwards, and he had to just kind of pick his jaw up off the ground.
Never seen that side of you.
No. And I think that was kind of the first step, right? Once you always know yourself when you're you know, huge fan and obsessed fan, but you have to reveal that part of yourself to you know, your friends and your family in small doses. And so that was the first bit. That was the first time that really happened. So that was the beginning of the end, I guess, in a weird way.
The book is Escape Is At Hand, mm-hmm. which is named after one of my favorite Tragically Hip songs, Escape Is At Hand for the Traveling Man, from the album Phantom Power. And we're here at the Speed River. Why is this significant?
Well, I spent 4 years.
We're not in the Speed River, by the way. We're on the banks of the Speed River.
We're on the banks. I could almost put my feet up here, but
yeah.
I spent 4 years studying in Guelph, and that was an important time, just because I had the kind of freedom to move around, and it was from Guelph that I, you know, took my first few trips south of the border to go see the Hip, which is kind of a rite of passage. But Guelph also introduced me to, you know, there was a lot of bands that I got into only because they were associated with the Hip, bands like Julie Dwaron and Constantines, and these bands would come and play Guelph afterwards. And so for me, it was a way of kind of exposing myself to music that wasn't just the Hip, which I think is what the Hip probably would want their fans to be exposed to.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was important. So Guelph's great, and I would all find myself coming back here quite often to just hang out, be with the geese, and learn about, I guess, what it takes to be in a family.
Right, and being a part of a family is a key part of your book, but you're part of an extended family in terms of fandom for the Hip. And what is it about that band? I mean, I know you discuss this quite thoroughly in your book, but can you, in a nutshell, sort of describe what it is about this band that has, you know, so inspired you to go see them in so many different places?
Well, I guess it's just that. I mean, this is a band that doesn't... They're quite a demanding band when you think about it. You can't just go... I guess a lot of people say they can, but to me, you can't just go see a Hip show, you know, pay your whatever cost for the ticket, buy your beer, and then call it a night. I think there's a lot... This band has just worked so hard to forge a legacy, and they've kind of... They've got an indelible sound, and they have made great efforts to get out there and play as often and wherever they can. And for me, that was pretty inspiring, because that taught me about places around the world, and that taught me about places that I should go. And it kind of, here's a band that hasn't quit. Here's a band that for all intents and purposes, they hit their creative peak about, you know, 13, maybe 15 years ago, but they're still playing. They haven't been relegated to a casino act. They're putting out great, great new records. They're trying. And for me, that was pretty inspiring to just be around a band and follow a band that wouldn't ever quit, regardless of, I guess, what other people thought of them.
Well, what makes you say that they reached their creative peak so long ago? I mean, just I appreciate your objectivity, because you're a super fan, but you sort of see it that way. Why is that? Why do you suppose that is? In the same breath, you say they're still making great records.
Yeah, I shouldn't say they definitely hit their peak as far as mass popularity.
Yeah.
My favorite records were being put out, in the late 90s. Records like Phantom Power. I guess I should take that back. Then, I mean,
I actually appreciate your honesty about it, because I think, you know, when people ask me what my favorite period of Bob Dylan's is, or my favorite Beatles record or something, or Shellac or Fugazi or whoever I love, I can't really pin it down per se. I mean, I can probably say, well, if you need an entry point, here you go. But I would have a hard time. That's just my nature. I just would have a hard time being like, this is definitely the best thing.
I without a doubt, I think, Phantom Power is their greatest record. It's just such it can be such an overwhelming record. It's so layered. And to me, that was really important, because that was the first record that I kind of started going to see, around those tours, that was when I started to go travel and see them.
Aha, that's significant.
Right.
Because that's a context thing for you.
Absolutely. But what I guess, and then their next two records, 2000 and 2002, Music Working and Violet Light, these are strange records in that they're taking risks. And let's face it, a lot of these risks don't pay off. The ones that do, they've got huge payoffs. So I think they stopped making those classic kind of chunky, really meaty Hip records in the late 90s. And I think that's what a lot of fans crave. But I think the late 2000s, they kind of... I don't know if they regained their stride, but they started maybe just getting back to basics. And again, let's... I would like to... I will champion any band that takes risks and dips their feet in different waters. And
the Speed
and,
River, for one,
for yeah, sure. For example, and for me, that's always been important, and I think for a lot of Hip fans, that's been really important.
You represent a lot of Hip fans by writing this book, and it's a very vivid account of one man's sort of journey into, I suppose, manhood and sort of seeing the world. The Tragically Hip fan base, I think, has been, I think at this point, rather unfairly maligned over the years. What's your take on the fan base generally? I mean, even that is sort of, it's so reductive to generalize a fan base, but what do you make of that, the fact that their fans have actually been criticized for their love of the band?
Yeah, I remember my first show. I was already at, before I'd even seen the band live, I was already part of their online community, and I remember... asking other fans, like, how many drinks do you have before a show? Because I'd heard these terrible, terrible rumors about these thick-necked rugby fans who would go to shows and they would get entirely too drunk and they would, ruin the performance for smaller, glasses-toting fans like me.
Sure.
But after a while... And this also comes from having conversations with the band. I learned that their fans, again, like you said, can't be generalized, except for the fact that they're just pure music lovers. There's not really a scene involved with the Hip anymore. You don't go to a Hip show because you read about them on Pitchfork or whatever. You know, mm-hmm. You go to a Hip show because there's such a dedication to craft. And I've heard Gord has mentioned this, more often than not. We've got all the geese coming our way now, eh?
I know. I might. Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. They're all swimming. They're swimming. Are they swimming? They're floating. What do they do?
They're floating. They're floating with the tide. But,
yeah, it's nice.
young and old, not unlike Hip fans. Young and old geese coming our way.
Yeah, yeah. I think they're enjoying our conversation about community.
But that's just it. I mean,
planning for your next trip. Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hip fans, you go to a Hip fan and you can see grandparents, you can see children, you can see people of every color, shape, and that's really cool, because I don't know if people, I think more Canadians than not have seen the band in whatever form, but the fact that they keep coming back means that they're not there to just say, oh, I've seen the band and that's it.
Yeah.
They're there because they want to be, and I think there's a lot of fans that feel they need to be because the Hip just have this ability to put the music first and foremost. I've heard Gord a number of times lately saying he's taken the Howlin' Wolf approach where he wants to leave everything on stage and he wants to feel so exhausted when he walks off stage. And listen, people respect that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you maybe saw a few bands on the weekend at North by Northeast that were there perhaps just because they had to be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Perhaps, they didn't really want to be.
The Hip don't clock in and clock out. They're there to play a show.
And I think...
best show they can.
Yeah, and I think people flock to that, and they've...
Flock like geese.
Exactly. They have this incredible ability to...
That goose is just staring at us. He just will not stop staring at us. He's very curious about what we're doing. This is not a public talk, sir.
Maybe he's not a Phantom Power fan. Maybe he's got...
Yeah.
Maybe he's got his own... he's got his own favorite... he's a fan of the early stuff.
Yeah, maybe.
He's a thick-necked, up-to-here fan. the Hip... like I said, they leave everything on stage, and there's I think people are realizing now that there's more to this band than you're fully completely, you're up to here, your 100th Meridian, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is a band that I felt is often taken for granted. As far as, and I've mentioned this before, they're the band you hear at backyard barbecues, the band you hear at the cottage, but I think fans are realizing that there's a lot more to this band. There's a language that they speak, and I guess I wanted to translate it from the other side of the stage.
Now, you've got this book launch coming up on June 24th at the supermarket.
In Toronto?
In Toronto, that's right. What can you tell us about what we can expect there? Because I'm actually going to be there.
Vish has graciously, I'd never formally met Vish before today. We met a few years ago at a show at a secondhand clothing store. I don't know if you remember.
Family Thrift Store?
Yeah.
What was the show?
I believe they were then called Friday Morning's Regret.
Oh, the Wooden
Bonetta.
Sky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I know you've always been a big fan, so I asked you to come along. But
now, how did you know I was a big fan? I'm just curious.
If we're going to get into the real nitty-gritty, I remember reading an Exclaim. I took a Greyhound. I was taking a Greyhound back to Guelph from Toronto a few years ago, a Greyhound not unlike today, and I was flipping through Exclaim, and you were writing about In View, which was the single off their 2006 record.
Yeah.
And you said it sounded good. I think you said it sounded like Arcade Fire. And
did I? Huh. Interesting. I don't know if I... And also, I think that was an I. Was that not an I Weekly?
It could have been.
Yeah. Did I say Arcade Fire? I love that song.
Arcade Fire-esque, I think it might have been something
I think
like
I
that.
Remember thinking... I was asked to write something about my favorite songs of the year.
Right.
And I chose In View as my favorite song of the year because I thought it was a really great pop song.
It was. It was a... I'm cringing because I wasn't a huge fan
of that song
yeah. That kind of I felt like it was a bit forced, but again but
to me that was the kind of I think they aren't known, I think what I probably wrote at the time was that they aren't known for writing these hooks,
mm-hmm.
when in reality all their songs have these crazy hooks and mm-hmm. choruses and they're anthemic in their own way, but this one was just I liked it because it was just a pop song.
Mm-hmm.
Not just a pop song, but it was like a really well-arranged, thoughtful pop song. And it just grabs me. I still sometimes catch myself humming the chorus or bridge of that song to myself. I really enjoyed it.
And that's Bob Rock, who I think had a real... he really caused a divide in hip fans.
Sure,
what he did to the band. You know, I'm sure Metallica fans might... agree as well, but again, this just comes back to what we were talking about, taking chances, which is something that I think the band should be commended for. But getting back to the launch, sorry.
I was just curious why you approached me, but I do appreciate being involved. And have you heard from the Hip Camp at all?
They have wished it well.
Okay.
I think, you know, like what we're doing, I've teamed up with a very, very good friend of mine, Adam Kesick, who also went to Guelph. We've been lifelong friends. He studied publishing at Ryerson.
Mm-hmm.
I'd shopped the book around and I had some bites, but I just had this kind of sense of urgency. I just returned back from a year and a half abroad and I said, let's do this. So we got together and started up our own small publishing company called Eternal Cavalier Press. We want to put out books by Canadian writers telling stories of bands and artists that don't often get told. You know, I'm not saying anything revolutionary, but just because books don't have mass market appeal, that doesn't mean there's not an audience.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to put this together and looked at record labels that kind of did the same, like Arts and Crafts and Castleface, which, you know, started with putting out records by the bands that they love, and the people involved in the label were involved in these bands. So we're going to launch both the label and this book at Supermarket, which the Hip used to launch Now for Plan A, their last record.
Yeah, I went to one of those shows.
Which is pretty cool.
Did you go to any of those supermarkets?
No, I was in Australia at the time.
Oh, okay.
And that's so...
They did these pop-up shows,
mm-hmm.
where they would play at random times during the day, they'd play three songs. And that kind of culminated in a live set that they streamed online.
Right.
Yeah.
So what did you think?
I thought it was cool.
Yeah?
I thought it was really fun. And I lined up like everybody else and went in and they did three songs. One of them was new and a couple of old ones and it was great.
So when was the first time you saw them, if you don't mind me asking?
The first time I saw the Hip would have been at another roadside attraction in Markham, Ontario.
Ooh, 95?
93.
93. Okay.
And then I saw them again at Maple Leaf Gardens for the first show there.
With Odds and Change of Heart,
that's right, for Day for Night.
Yeah.
And I've seen them a bunch since.
So what have you noticed about the band, if you don't mind me asking? I really love to hear this kind of thing. What have you noticed about their evolution?
Well, I think that, my favorite record of theirs, Phantom Power is close, mm-hmm. but Day for Night is probably my favorite record. And Day for Night was this sort of, I think, as you say, that we'd all been, in your book, you kind of mentioned this, we'd all been kind of inundated with rock radio playing hip songs. Mm-hmm. And I was fully on board. I liked the songs. Mm-hmm. They were great songs. And I think Gord is, you know, you used the term taken for granted or underrated maybe earlier. And, you know, I think Gord's a great songwriter and mm-hmm. a great singer. And the band is also, I think, underrated. I think some people kind of, I don't know why, the music fans I grew up with, some of them saw what was there and appreciated, and others thought, it's just a bar rock band.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think they're, as you say, they've got a very idiosyncratic sound. And I think that in immersing themselves in different sounds, they've come up, like, I mean, you can see it with how they program, like, things like Another Roadside Attraction, mm-hmm. the opening acts on their tour. There's more to this band than just what they put out. I think they have open ears. And I think in a lot of ways that comes through in their output. And, yeah, I don't know. I've never been asked to really justify my love of the band, but I think that they are a unique force, mm-hmm. and they've done a lot of great things, and their music is great. And I mean, I think part of my willingness to champion them when other people put them down is because I've seen them support their arts community mm-hmm. like few people mm-hmm. in their position have. I mean, they really got to a point where they were the biggest band in this country and could do whatever they wanted, and they took that as an opportunity to make really challenging music, you know, challenge, I think, expectations that people have had of them. And they did that in terms of helping bands that, you know, maybe some people would find harder to access.
And I think that's something that a lot of people, maybe not a lot of critics, but some critics have really taken to in talking with Alan Cross, who wrote the foreword for the book. It's been a big help. And what he told me was that, and it makes a lot of sense, Canadians have a tendency to take those who succeed down a peg or two. And he mentioned that it took a long time for Canadians to really learn how to support successful Canadian bands and artists.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Hip have really suffered from that, but I think they almost revel in that because, a lot of, like we've talked about, a lot of people say, well, what is this band besides 100th Meridian and New Orleans Is Sinking? I've heard those songs. You know, those are my dad's songs. I'm sick of hearing them on the radio. Mm-hmm. There's nothing more to this band. But I think what the band themselves have done is saying, we understand that we've worked really hard to gain the respect. And if we can do anything, the best we can do is pass this on. Bands like Sam Roberts' band, and as I mentioned, Constantine's, Joel Plaskett, bands that are now part of the Canadian canon. And the first time, for better or for worse, the first time I heard of these bands was when they opened for the Hip. I mean, the list goes on. You've got Arkells and these great, great bands that owe a lot to the Hip. I think they've really been the connectors for me. Yeah, my parents were into them. And I know people younger than me are into the Hip. I think so. I think that's been really
they have
important.
They have an influence, and I think they've wielded it well.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So getting back to the original question, these geese are distracting.
They are a little distracting.
But
they.
Sure. So we're going to launch the book June 24th. We've got Jennifer Castle playing, who is a great, great singer-songwriter. She's got a great record out on Flemish Eye, and she's played with Bri Webb of Constantine's. She sang with Fucked Up, and we've got Adam, a publishing partner, who's going to do a little acoustic set first. But I think you and I can. I'm going to do some readings.
We're going to have a chat, right?
We're going to talk Hip. We're going to talk Legacy, talk CanCon, and I think it'll be a lot of fun.
I think so too. Where can people get more info?
Well, we've got our website up, eternalcavalierpress.com. Pre-orders are going to be up for the book within the next day or two. And there's a few shops in Toronto, Soundscapes, one of them that's agreed to stock the book. Book will be available online. And hopefully if we can get enough, movement behind it, we can get it out to some other shops across the country. But starting small, hoping big, I think that's the key.
Josh, it's a very well-written and starkly honest and frank book.
Thanks, Fish.
I want to congratulate you on it. And yeah, I'm looking forward to your book launch and reading. I've been reading on my little phone.
Okay.
You sent me like an attachment, you know?
Yeah.
I kind of want to read the actual book.
So do I.
You haven't seen it yet either.
I haven't yet. We're
oh man, I hope it shows up.
We're cutting it close, but yeah.
You know how many shows I've been to lately where people, there's like a vinyl shortage? I might do a show on this. There's a vinyl shortage, and I go to all these record release shows, and people are like, "Yeah, we don't
have it.
We don't have the record. It's not here yet."
Sorry,
I shouldn't have mentioned that.
No.
There's not really a paper shortage, as far as I know. But you never know.
I've been to shows like that as well, and I can only imagine. I actually feel incredibly bad for these bands that have to do that, because I'm sure it's no fault of their own. I'm sure they
took. No, it isn't. All these manufacturing plants are sending out these apologies because they think they can get it done, and people, they just can't. They can't keep up with the demand. Everyone's pressing vinyl again, and more than they were. I don't think it really ever stopped. But yeah, anyway, this might be a show.
Okay.
I might do a show on this at some point. I want to examine this. But anyway, your book's going to be fine. I can't wait to read it. Best of luck.
Thanks, Vish.
Hey, thanks again for checking out Creative Control with Vish Khanna. You can email me about the show at creativecontrol933@gmail.com. That's creative with a K, control with a K, 933@gmail.com. You can also follow our Twitter at Vish Creative, VishKreative. And you can also like our Facebook page. A version of this show airs on CFRU in Guelph every Wednesday at noon Eastern. And you can listen to that online at CFRU.ca, or if you're in the KW region, at 93.3 FM in Guelph. You can also sign up for the weekly mailing list for the podcast and the show at vishkhanna.com, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. I believe that is everything I wanted to tell you. Thank you once again.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.